We're going to be, to begin with, here at Romans chapter 13. You might want to put a marker at Matthew 16 and then turn to Romans 13. I'm going to read Romans 13 beginning at verse 11. It says, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Verse 11 again, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of our sleep." Knowing the time, let's awake. Would you pray with me right now? Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that we can be here in the house of God. Lord, we truly appreciate gathering together to worship you. And Father, we ask you to pour out of your Holy Spirit. Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, to every one of us that are here and to those who will follow on Facebook or listen later on the web. Lord, on our website, we ask God that every individual that you want to speak to through this message tonight would be spoken to, and God will give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. The Bible says that it's important to us that we know the time. Amen. In other words, that we perceive and understand the time that we live in, and knowing the time, that we would live accordingly, and that we would awake from sleep. Far too long, the church in America has been asleep. Far too long, God's people have been just sort of drifting along in our Christian experience. It is time to wake. And the events that are going on right now and the worldwide situation that we're facing, I think wakes us up just a little bit, alerts our mind afresh and anew to what we already know. But hopefully we let it stir to where we don't just know it here, but we know it here. Do we know the time that we're living in? Do we perceive and understand and recognize the time we're living in? And are we living accordingly? The time is clear that we are living in the end of the church age. Can you say amen? This is really heading toward, and when I say this, I don't mean, you know, what's going on with the coronavirus necessarily. However, it either can be the beginnings of things or, at the very least, a wake-up call to us that time is short. Amen? That the great climactic event that will happen at the end of the age is just around the corner. The climactic event on God's calendar is the return of Christ. Amen? Two aspects of that return. The aspect now of His snatching the church out of this world, the rapture. As Christians, that's what we look for. Him taking us up out of this world to be with Him. And then His return to the earth, where He actually plants His feet on the Mount of Olives. The raptured church returns with Him at the Battle of Armageddon, and it's all just around the corner. We're awakened by this stuff to how easily our government can control the populace. How easily our economy can collapse, not only in the nation, but in the world, making way for a leader to arise who seems to have all the answers. The prince that shall come, the Bible calls him, who will seem to have all the answers, who will establish a new world order, who will establish a monetary system that eliminates the need for cash and unifies the system of the world monetarily. A system that will lead to a day not far down the road, if we believe the rapture of the church is near at hand, it will lead to a day when, in order to purchase food to live, you will have to have a mark in your forehead or your hand. When was the technology available to do that except now? And apparently, in order to receive that mark, and when I say you, those who are here left upon the earth will have to, in order to purchase food and necessary things, they will have to have that mark. And apparently, in order to receive that mark, they will have to pledge their allegiance to the Antichrist. No Christian, no true Christian will do such. Can you say amen? Now, people ask me, do you believe we will see the mark of the beast? I do not believe we will actually see that scenario and the martyrdom that occurs, because I see the rapture occurring before that happens. That's my understanding of Scripture. But will we see the things being set in place and the economic collapse that would have to lead to such things and other things that the Bible tells us will happen? Absolutely. It isn't all suddenly, completely going to turn around. Events are going to lead up to where the awake Christian understands, knows the time, sees that we are living in the end of the age, sees that things are being put in place, recognizes that we need to keep our eye toward the eastern sky. Thank God, the end of the age is not a scary thing for us. I've read the entire book and we win. Can you say amen? We are taken home to be with Jesus, and He sees to it that we make it through if we hold to His hand. But this stuff going on right now awakens our eyes and our attention and our minds and our faith to the fact that we are living in the very last times. It's not a time to be asleep spiritually. It's not a time to let the flesh control our lives, as we're told in this text. Amen. It is a time to live for Jesus with all of our heart and surrender the depths of our soul to Him. It's a time to wake up spiritually, to put away sin, to put on the armor of light, to live properly, obediently, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm quoting some of the things, or mentioning some of the things that are mentioned in this text, which tells us practically what Christian living looks like. The first portion before what we've read tells us that Christians are to obey the laws, pay their taxes, respect authority, not live with outstanding debt. Oh, no man anything doesn't mean you can't have a mortgage or a car payment, but you pay what you owe. And we're to love one another. And it tells us those things, and then goes in to tell us that we're to know the times and awaken and put off sin, put off the works of darkness, shake off your slumber, if you will. Amen. And live for Jesus and put on Christ. In other words, you take His life onto yourself. The statement, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, means literally be clothed with Jesus. The clothes are what people see when they see you and me. Amen. It's what we wear every day. We get up and put on our clothes. We wouldn't consider living without our clothes. Amen. We wouldn't consider. Well, some people, I guess, do to some degree. Modesty has gone out the window. And sometimes the clothes people wear aren't really clothes. They're just part of their clothes. But we wouldn't think of leaving the house without our clothes. We need our clothes for covering. We need our clothes for protection. We need our clothes because there's parts of us we don't want people to see. But our clothes are really, in a sense now, who we are. Put on the Lord Jesus doesn't mean we cover up because there's parts of us that aren't to be seen. It means that the nakedness is covered up with the presence of Jesus Christ. It means we are living and abiding in Christ. He's our everything. And when people see us, they see Jesus in us. They see Jesus living through us. Our life is Christ. Amen. We're living for Jesus. And so all of this is given to us in a text I thought I would take time to break down, but you're going to have to read it and glean the details on your own here. But brothers and sisters, are we awake? Do we recognize the time? Are we letting the events that are going on and that could go on awaken our spiritual senses to the fact that we have everything to look forward to if we're living for Jesus? But we sure don't want to be on the outskirts. And we sure don't want to think we've got plenty of time to reach everybody God's called us to reach. Because the time tells us that time is short. Or the signs tell us and awaken us to the fact that time is short. Jesus listed some things that would happen upon the earth. And he told us in Luke's gospel that when we see these things beginning to happen, it's Luke 21 and 28, when these things that he has described previously and in other chapters where the rest of his teaching about the last days occurs, or is written for us to read, in other words, when he's laid out these things, he says, when these things start taking place, then look up. Look up. Amen. Lift up your eyes because redemption draws nigh. The redemption of our body is about to occur. When we see the signs of the times, look up. To me, look up means a few things. Amen. It's looking up means don't be downcast. Don't be in a place now where you're despairing. Look up. Look up also means to me, turn your eyes away from this world and unto what matters and lasts for eternity. Can you say amen? Look up means wake up and get your focus and my focus where it belongs. Jesus is coming. Look up. Lift up your eyes because redemption draws nigh. A song that my wife used to sing years ago when I first came around the church and began to follow Jesus. I'm not going to sing this one, I promise you. I tried it in my office and I can't get it. I wish my wife could, or would, she can, but I don't know if she will right now, on the spot like this. But the song says, signs of the times are everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air. Lift up your eyes toward the eastern sky. Redemption draws nigh. Amen. It's time. The signs of the times are everywhere. And for us, this is not a scary moment. We lift up our eyes and we look. Our redemption is coming soon. Amen. Jesus is taking us out of here soon. Let's be caught up with Him so that we are caught up when He comes. Let us be wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Him. Can you say amen? Now, I want you to think with me, and you know, it is possible that now times are going to get tougher. I'm not prophesying. I know times are going to get tougher. It could be it's starting now. It could be it's going to come a little later. But how much later? Really? Amen? Did you know that the church doesn't go under when things get worse? Amen? You know, just think for a moment. Immediately, I thought this was pretty neat. Immediately, when it turned out that it was like, boom, suddenly you can't have gatherings over 50. Right? And so suddenly many large churches, for the time being, were canceling service. And I read immediately what was happening. Where I got the idea of streaming on Facebook. Probably thought of it before, but never to the degree that I did now. And so many of the churches immediately, they didn't say, oh, well, you know, we'll go home for a few months or a few weeks. They immediately said, this is what the church does. The church finds a way because we've got the message that people need to hear. Can you say amen? And we've got the man that people need to know, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so immediately, and I read what churches are doing. They're gathering their worship team. It's under 50, right? They're gathering their worship team and the preacher, and they're having church just like they had a congregation, and they're live streaming it. I'm like, man, I love that. Amen? I told you this morning, Brother Boggs and his wife are quarantined. They can't even see their daughter for the next 14 days because they had been out of the country. Australia, wherever they were, they had to cut short their plans to preach in places and come back to the United States, and they're quarantined. Brother Boggs said, we're going to have church. What the church needs is revival. And so we're going to go, and I guess they're doing it on Monday nights. Is that right? And before tomorrow night, we will have the link on our website so you can go to it. I encourage you. Is it 7 o'clock Ohio time? Which is probably 6 o'clock our time. Is that right? I would encourage you. If you can, go to that link off our website and have church with the Boggs family. I've never had church with the Boggs family when they're in Ohio and I'm here. But Lord willing, I'm going to do it this Monday night. Amen? Isn't that neat? And they said, we're going to just pull out our piano. We're going to sing and worship the Lord, just the two of them. And we're going to get up and preach the Word of God and preach revival to God's people. I love it. Amen. The devil says we'll put the church under. The church rises in the power of God. The church isn't going under because we're going over. The church of God is moving. Can you say amen? The devil's a liar and Jesus is the victor. So if they say we can't gather, we're still having church. Amen. You might spend more time praying with your family. I hope you do. Than what you normally do. And gathering to have church. Amen. If you have to do it electronically, we're still going to do it. Same time, just different place. But we're going to have church no matter what. And Jesus is going to move. Can you say amen? I want you to turn with me because as I was saying, when these aren't really yet tough times. But it awakens us to tough times. And when tough times come, the church goes through. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. I love this passage. Matthew 16 and verse 13. Jesus is present in his earthly ministry. And he's with his disciples. He returns from where he has been. The coast, and he comes into the coast, rather, of Caesarea Philippi, Matthew 16 and 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom do you say that I am?" Now Jesus is who he is and was God in the flesh when he was here on the earth, regardless of what anybody says. Amen. But who you and I say he is of great value. Do we agree with God? It's of value to us. Do we recognize him as the eternal Son of God? We're here because we do. Amen. And we're reaching the lost because they need to know that he is the eternal Son of God. So, who do you say that I am? Jesus says. And Simon, the one who's always quick to jump in, thank God he jumps in here now. He's the lead speaker here, spokesman. He speaks up. And it says, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Who do you say that I am, disciples of mine? Peter said, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah, promised throughout history, throughout the history of the Jewish people. You are the promised Messiah that was promised from the days, from right after the fall of man. You are the one that we're to look for, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are God's only begotten Son." Jesus responds to what Peter said, and his response is important to us, and it tells us why the church rises. The harder the times get, the more powerful the church of Are you supposed to do that on Facebook? Can't help it. Amen. But the harder the problems become, the greater the pressure is. The higher the church rises, the more powerful the church becomes. Can you say amen? Oh, we don't need good times to have revival. We need sometimes bad times to have revival. Do you recognize the time? It's time to move with God. It's time to have revival. Time is short. Those that need to be reached will perish, except we have a visitation from God. He's going to respond here, Jesus is, to what Peter said. He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven." Peter, you are blessed, because you're not just saying words that somebody told you to say. You're not just saying the right thing because it's the cliche you're supposed to say. You are saying that I am the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, because my Father, which is in heaven, has made that real to your heart. Listen, if you know that Christ is the Messiah because God has made that real to you, then you know what's coming. Can you say amen? You know where you stand because of him. You know where you're going. You know that what happens in this world doesn't matter for eternity. You know that there's a work to be done for Jesus Christ, and that's all that matters in life. You know that the things of this world don't matter. I'd rather have Jesus, the songwriter said, than all of the wealth of this world or anything this world can offer. And if you know in your heart by the revelation of God touching your life and making it real to you, you know in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you are indeed blessed. and it affects the way you and I live. Now we go on to the part I was wanting to get to, and understand, it's all part of one statement that Jesus made. Blessed art thou, we'll read that verse 17 again because it's all one statement. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. The name Peter means a little stone. And upon this rock, a big stone, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What's the rock? The rock is the rock of the true statement that Peter made. Jesus is referring to the words that Peter said and that he knew by revelation from God, the truth that is contained in these words, that you, Jesus of Nazareth, are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock of your confession, Peter, upon this truth, therefore upon Christ, who is the chief cornerstone of the church, upon Christ the church is built. This church, meaning the body of Christ, meaning all those who are truly redeemed by the blood of Jesus, the church, those people called out to follow Christ all over this country and all over this world. The church is founded upon the rock, Jesus Christ, built on Him. He is the Son of the living God. Therefore, hell can do everything it wants to do. Therefore, hell can fight. Therefore, hell can block and prevent, try to do so anyway, but cannot prevail. Can you say amen? The devil cannot prevail. All of hell, everything that can come at the church, cannot prevail because we're founded on the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. It's His church. It's not your church or my church. This isn't Brother John's building and group. It isn't Bethany Revival Center, all of us collectively. Amen. This isn't our church. The church down the street, if it's founded upon Christ, isn't their church. It is His church. And you're either in it or you're not. You're either washed in the blood. It's not a building. It's not an organization. It is a living organism. The church of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And I think our brothers and sisters in some foreign countries have suffered long enough with us getting off so easy. And they've experienced revival sometimes that we're not tasting. Maybe we need just a little wake-up call. Maybe we need just a little more pressure. Maybe we need, I'm not asking for it, but I'm asking for whatever it takes for us to see what it is to have the enemy throw at us whatever, and we rise in the power and the grace of God. If you look at the early church was growing and thriving to a point in the book of Acts in Jerusalem. It was growing. The power of God fell. Lives were being touched. Revival, the likes of which we have yet to even begin to see, was happening there at Jerusalem. But everything God wanted to happen wasn't happening yet. Because God didn't say, I want you to stay cushy in Jerusalem and just enjoy this revival all by yourselves. Now the church was growing, but it wasn't growing the way it was supposed to be. Amen? Jesus said, after that you receive the Holy Ghost, you should be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I've given you the Holy Ghost to take the gospel out and win the world. Amen? And they're sitting at Jerusalem. They were sitting there as long as they were supposed to. And what got them out, scattered them abroad, sent people like Stephen and Philip preaching in other communities that they probably wouldn't have been preaching in had this not happened. What got them out there was persecution. Amen? Man, trouble began to break loose. The church began to be scattered. So I said, oh no, it's been so good and so easy. Now everything's going to fall apart. Oh no. Oh no, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. What the devil tries to use to bring God's people down, God uses to bring them up. Amen. The persecution that came caused these spirit-filled people, not by name only spirit-filled, not because it was part of a tradition of the church, but because they were truly filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Filled up with the third person of the Trinity, overflowing with the power and blessing that He brings in one's life when we're full. They were full of the Holy Ghost, and they went out and preached all over the known world, and reach souls that out as far as it was known that you could go at that time. Can you say amen? God had planned it all. God had brought this about at a time in His planning and foreknowledge, at a time when there was actually an incredible road system that led throughout much of the known world that was quite advanced for that time. There was a world language that most people knew. Greek. Hellenism had brought almost a universal language. What better way and opportunity that God had brought about there in history to allow for the propagation of the truth that Jesus of Nazareth was and is the living Christ, was crucified and rose again and is coming back again and will save the lost from their sin. What better time? God had it all planned. Can you say amen? What does He have planned for the church in America to do now? Amen. What does He have planned for your life and mine? What does He have planned for our church? There is nothing that can come at the church that can stop us from fulfilling the plan of God if we recognize the time and awake out of sleep and let God have His way in our lives. Can you say amen? The church is going over. Upon the rock of your confession, Peter, I will build my church. Remind yourself that the church of Jesus Christ is His church. Amen? If we're in Him, we're going over. I will build my church, He said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the devil tells you you're not going to make it, remind him that you belong to the church of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I look then at whatever is going to happen tomorrow, the next day, next week, next month, next summer, or next year. May not be in our plans, may not be what we expected or would hope for, but it will be exactly what we need to propel us into what God has for the church to do. Are you in? I mean, are you all in? Are you all the way in? Is all of your heart and both of your feet and all of your life committed, sold out, ready in your heart to follow Jesus and believing that there will be real-time grace, as we spoke about this morning, to carry you through and me through? Really, when you think about it, there is no more exciting time to be alive than right now. And we may be among the generation of people that never experience what it is to physically die to go to be with Jesus. But we may be among those who experience the resurrection at the same time as we're caught up. Never go in. Think of the reality of that. Amen. Listen, I'll go to be with Jesus anyway. Right? Whether I die and go to be with Him or I'm caught up in the rapture, and don't think in your mind it's somehow different. You might be ready to die and go to be with Jesus, but you're not ready for the rapture. That's silly. You're either in Christ by faith or you're not. And get in all the way, would you? And be working and looking and throwing aside sin and committing your soul to God and following with all of your heart and realizing there will be real-time grace for whatever we face. And go on with God. Can you say amen? Because there's short time left to do the work He's called us to do, but He will use whatever is in our path to propel us to be and do what He wants us to be and do. And I'm in. And I'm all in. Because the church of God will always prevail. And the gates of hell, Brother Charles, would you come, will not prevail against His church. Amen. Now is the time to wake and say, I want to be locked in with Jesus like never before, and working for Jesus with all my heart in whatever capacity He's called me to. The church always thrives when trials and pressures and problems come. And that's what we're going to do, because God is God. Would you stand as Brother Charles comes? Stretch your hands toward heaven in sweet surrender to Jesus. Lord, we praise You and worship You. Oh God, we just thank You. You always know exactly what we need to hear. Help us, God, to take a hold of Your word. Lord, this could be the beginning of far worse times, or it could be something that blows over. But whatever it is, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. All we have to do is follow You one day at a time. And whatever the case, it doesn't really matter. All that matters is how You're going to use whatever is before us to help us to do everything we can to reach as many souls for Christ as is possible before Your return. Lord, help us, God, to be awakened by the things that we see happening. Lord, and become, God, so sold out and in love with You. Lord, we don't even understand what's happened to us. Melt us, Lord, in Your presence. Let faith come alive within us. Lead us one day at a time in Your grace. And God, we give You the praise. And we thank You, Lord, that the church of God is going forward. And Lord, we trust You to cause us to thrive in whatever is before us. God, we give You praise. Lord, we're going to keep one eye on the work and one eye on the eastern sky, so to speak, Lord, because You're coming soon. Lord, we thank You in Jesus' name. Lift your hands. Give the Lord praise. You want to slip out of your seat and come around the front. Make sure you measure out 6 feet between you and somebody else. Heaven forbid we touch one another. But if you want to slip out of your seat, or if you're more comfortable, make an altar where you are. Let's lift our hands toward heaven. Let's worship Jesus. Let's be excited, serious, sober, and at the same time excited about the times that we live in. Lord, use what is going on right now to cause us to become fully awake. We don't want to be spiritually groggy, half asleep. No, we want to be wide-eyed and bushy-tailed for Christ. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name.